A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
So Daniel sent us this one. He's been thinking about phone-based document scanning, and he's got a point that's deceptively simple. The AI in these apps is genuinely impressive now. Google's native scanning, Adobe Scan, Microsoft Lens, they do curvature correction, shadow removal, text sharpening, all of it. But here's the catch he's zeroing in on, you still can't make magic happen. These tools work best when you make their job easier. Flat paper, good lighting, a background that doesn't confuse the model. And he's asking what people might have lying around the house, or what's cheap enough to buy, that actually makes a difference. He's also thinking about the bigger picture. Live identity document, scanning for passports and IDs, where a glare spot can mean the difference between passing validation and getting locked out of your bank account. So where do we even start with this?
Let's start with the paradox at the center of all of this. Phone scanning apps have gotten astonishingly good. Google's Document Mode in the Pixel 9 and the Samsung Galaxy S25 series uses a dedicated machine learning model for text sharpening and shadow removal. Adobe Scan can auto-crop and straighten curved book pages. Microsoft Lens does perspective correction in real time. The software isn't the bottleneck anymore. And yet, the single biggest variable in output quality is still the physical setup the user provides. That's the thing Daniel's getting at, and he's right.
It's almost funny. We've got these neural networks doing stereo depth estimation and do-warping and text enhancement. And the difference between a perfect scan and a rejection is whether you put the paper on a white table or a dark one.
Well, not exactly, but that's the core of it. These AI models are trained on ideal conditions. Flat paper, even lighting, high contrast background. When you deviate from that, the model has to fill in gaps. It has to guess. And when it guesses wrong, you get jagged crop edges, wavy text lines, or blown out highlights that can't be recovered because the data was never captured in the first place. The better your physical setup, the less the AI has to invent. Think of it like a chef and a sous chef. The AI is an extraordinarily talented sous chef who can julienne vegetables and reduce sauces and plate beautifully, but if you hand them a bag of rotten produce, there's only so much they can do. The meal's going to suffer no matter how good the technique is.
That's a useful frame. So the thesis is, treat your phone like a camera first and an AI scanner second. Control the physical variables and the software rewards you. Ignore them, and you're asking a model to hallucinate your passport photo.
And that hallucination has real consequences now. With automated identity verification becoming mandatory for everything from bank accounts to border entry, a bad scan isn't just ugly, it fails. Jumio, one of the big identity verification companies, reported that 12% of all ID verification failures were due to lighting conditions alone. That's not fraud detection catching something. That's a legitimate user being rejected because of glare.
12% is enormous. That's more than 1 in 10 people who are who they say they are, holding a real passport and getting bounced because of where the light was. That's not a technology failure. That's a user experience failure at scale.
And it's only going to get more common. The EU's eIDAS 2.0 regulation came into full effect in May of this year, requiring member states to accept digital identity wallets. Apple's pushing on-device ID verification in iOS 19. Google's got identity check in Android 16. The infrastructure is all moving toward live document scanning as a gatekeeper for services. If you can't produce a clean scan, you can't get through the gate. It's like showing up at the airport with a passport that's technically valid, but the photo is smudged beyond recognition. Except now, the gate agent is an AI that can't exercise human judgment and let you through anyway.
Right. A human border agent can look at you, look at the smudged photo, look back at you, and make a reasonable call. The AI just sees a mismatch and flags it. There's no appeal process built into the software.
None. And that's the quiet anxiety underneath Daniel's question. He's not asking about better scanning as a hobbyist thing. He's asking about it as infrastructure for modern life. So let's pop the hood and look at what these AI models are actually doing when you hit that scan button, and where they break.
Yes, let's do that. Walk me through the pipeline.
Alright, three mechanisms to walk through. First one, background contrast and segmentation. When you point your phone at a document, the first thing the software has to do is figure out where the document ends and the background begins. Google's Document Mode uses the MLKit Document Scanner API, which is built on a MobileNet-derived architecture. It's a segmentation model. It's looking at color boundaries, texture differences, edge detection. If you've got a white piece of paper on a dark wood table, the boundary is crisp. The model draws a clean polygon around the document, crops precisely, and moves on to the next step.
And if the paper is on a white laminate countertop?
Then the model is squinting. It can't tell where the paper stops and the table starts. The segmentation boundary gets jagged, or it crops too aggressively and cuts off text near the edges, or it leaves a sliver of background in the scan that throws off the perspective correction downstream. I've seen side-by-side comparisons. Same sheet of paper, same phone, same lighting. On a dark surface, the crop is clean within a millimeter. On a white surface, you can see the edge wobbling. It looks like someone cut the document out with safety scissors.
So the model isn't failing because it's bad at its job. It's failing because you gave it an impossible problem. Find the edge of a white rectangle on a white rectangle. It's like asking someone to find the boundary between two sheets of paper that are exactly the same shade in exactly the same light.
Right. And this is where Daniel's point about household items gets practical fast. You don't need a specialized scanning mat. A black t-shirt laid flat on a table works. A sheet of dark gray craft paper from an art store, $3 to $5, works beautifully. The key is contrast, high contrast between the document and the background. That's it. That's the entire trick. The model doesn't need fancy equipment. It just needs a clear signal about where the document stops.
So the AI is essentially asking, where's the edge? And if you give it a white-on-white scene, you're refusing to answer the question.
And it's such a low-effort fix. I've started keeping a sheet of dark construction paper folded in my desk drawer specifically for scanning receipts and forms. It takes 2 seconds to slide it under the document, and the difference in crop quality is immediately visible. You go from a scan that looks like it was done by a distracted photocopier to something that looks professionally flatbed scanned.
White on white confuses the model. Dark background, clean crop. Got it. What's the second mechanism?
Curvature correction, or as Google calls it, document dewarping. This is the model that straightens out curved book pages or folded corners. It works by estimating a three-dimensional surface from shading cues in the image. The model was trained on synthetic curved documents, so it's learned to map how light falls across a bent page and reconstruct what the flat version should look like. It's clever. But it has a failure mode.
Crumples and folds.
If the paper has a single, sharp fold, say a 90-degree crease in the corner, the shading cues become ambiguous. The model sees a sharp shadow line and can't tell if it's a fold, a wrinkle, or a printed line on the page. It often overcorrects, producing wavy text lines instead of straight ones. There's a real-world test on this. A standard letter-sized sheet with a single 90-degree fold in the corner causes a 15% to 20% character misread rate in OCR output. That's 1 in 5 characters wrong from one fold.
Wait, let me make sure I understand the failure pattern here. The fold creates a sharp shadow. The dewarping model interprets that shadow as a three-dimensional surface feature, and it tries to flatten something that wasn't actually curved in the first place, so it introduces warping where the text was originally flat.
It's like the model sees a crease and assumes the entire page is gently curved like an open book, so it applies a global correction that bends straight lines into gentle arcs. The text near the fold comes out looking like it's printed on a funhouse mirror.
So the AI is trying to unbend something, but the fold confuses its depth estimation, and it warps the text that wasn't actually warped. It's fixing a problem that doesn't exist and creating a real one in the process.
Which brings us to Daniel's paperweight suggestion. He mentioned small paperweights, and he's dead on. The goal is to flatten the document without creating new shadows that the model will misinterpret. A couple of small glass paperweights, the 2-inch round ones used for calligraphy, placed on the corners, eliminate the curvature entirely. The model doesn't need to dewarp anything because the paper is already flat. You're removing the variable before the AI ever sees it.
And if you're traveling, glass paperweights aren't light. I can't imagine anyone wants 2 lumps of glass in their carry-on.
Neodymium magnets. 4 1-inch magnets if your scanning surface is metal, a fridge, a whiteboard, even the metal desk in a co-working space. They weigh almost nothing, they fit in a pocket, and they hold the corners flat without casting shadows the way a stack of books would. Books create a gradient shadow near the edge that the AI sometimes misinterprets as a document fold. Magnets sit flush and disappear from the scan. You get perfect flatness and no shadow artifact.
I'm picturing a digital nomad in a Chiang Mai co-working space, pulling 4 tiny magnets out of a pouch and sticking their passport to a metal table. It's absurd, but it works.
It works brilliantly, and it's cheaper than a travel scanner, lighter, and produces better results because you're optimizing for the AI's strengths rather than fighting its weaknesses. You're not trying to buy a better scanner. You're giving the scanner you already have the conditions it was trained to expect. Which brings us to mechanism 3, lighting and glare.
This is the one that kills passport scans. This is the 12% from the Jumio data.
It is. Phone cameras have automatic white balance and exposure algorithms that are optimized for faces. When you switch to document mode, the metering changes. It prioritizes text contrast and even illumination. But specular highlights are still a problem. Glossy paper, like the laminate on a passport photo page or a magazine clipping, reflects light directly into the lens. That creates a blown-out white spot. And here's the critical thing. The AI can't recover text that was never captured. It can sharpen what's there. It can't invent what's missing.
This is worth underlining. There's a common misconception that AI can fix anything in an image. But if the sensor captured pure white because of glare, there's no data to recover. The information is gone. It's not blurred. It's not noisy. It's absent.
Right. It's the difference between a smudged window and a brick wall. You can clean a smudged window and see through it. You can't clean a brick wall and suddenly see through it. Glare is the brick wall. The photons from the text never reached the sensor.
So if the glare obliterates part of the machine-readable zone at the bottom of a passport, that data is gone. The OCR just sees a white rectangle.
And the automated verification system sees something worse. Companies like OnFido, Jumio, and Apple's ID verification in Wallet are checking for tampering signs, holograms, microprint, security features. Glare can mask those features. The system can't tell if the glare is from a bad photo or from someone trying to hide a doctored document, so it fails the scan. It's a false positive for fraud, triggered by bad lighting. You're not a fraudster, but you look like one to the algorithm.
Which is a brutal user experience. You know you're holding a real passport. You know you're a real person. But the system has decided you're suspicious, and there's no human to appeal to.
And the system is designed to err on the side of suspicion. A false positive, rejecting a legitimate user, is considered less costly than a false negative, letting a fraudulent document through. So the threshold is set aggressively, and lighting problems push you over that threshold fast.
So the advice is not more light. It's better angled light.
Overhead lights are the enemy. They create a hotspot directly above the document, exactly where your phone is. The solution is a 45-degree angle from the side. Natural light from a window works perfectly if you position the document perpendicular to the window. For artificial light, a small LED panel like the Lumi Cube Panel Mini, about $40, fits in a pocket. Positioned at 45 degrees eliminates shadows from your hand and phone while avoiding the direct reflection that causes glare. The light skims across the document rather than bouncing straight back into the lens.
I've seen people try to scan passports by holding them up to a ceiling light. It's like they're trying to signal aircraft. The passport becomes a mirror, and the camera sees nothing but a white circle.
And then they're surprised when the scan fails 3 times and the bank locks their application. Daniel mentioned digital nomads specifically, and he's right to. Imagine you're in Thailand trying to open a bank account. You need to scan your passport. The room has fluorescent overhead lights. You fail the scan. You try again. Fail. You angle the passport differently. Fail. You've now been locked out for 24 hours because the bank's fraud system flagged multiple failed attempts. You're sitting in a hostel room with a perfectly valid passport and no way to use it.
And the fix is a $40 LED panel and a dark piece of paper. That's the difference between having a bank account and not having one. That's the difference between being able to pay rent and being in a precarious situation.
And that's the kit Daniel was asking about. Let me lay out what I'd call the Nomad Scanning Kit. It all fits in a zippered pouch. 1, a 12x18-inch sheet of black craft paper folded. 2, 4 small neodymium magnets. 3, a LumCube panel, mini or equivalent pocket LED, 4. A microfiber cloth for cleaning the phone lens, because a smudged lens destroys text sharpness before the AI even gets a chance. Total cost, around $55. Total weight, under 200 grams. It fits in any laptop bag.
I want to pause on the microfiber cloth for a second because it sounds trivial, but it's not. We carry our phones in pockets and bags, we touch the lenses constantly, and then we wonder why our scans look soft. How much sharpness are we actually losing to a smudged lens?
It's significant. A single fingerprint on the lens can reduce contrast by 20 to 30%, especially in the fine detail that OCR depends on. The AI sharpening algorithms can compensate somewhat, but they also amplify noise when they do that. A clean lens gives the model clean data to work with. A dirty lens gives it a muddy signal and asks it to reconstruct detail that was never resolved. The microfiber cloth is probably the highest return item in the entire kit relative to its cost. It's basically free and it fixes a problem that affects every single scan.
$55 to never fail a passport scan again. That's a better return than most travel insurance.
And each item in the kit addresses a specific failure pattern we just walked through. The black paper solves the segmentation problem. The magnets solve the curvature problem. The LED solves the glare problem. The microfiber cloth solves the lens. Smudge problem that makes everything else irrelevant. You're not throwing money at the problem, you're targeting the exact points where the AI's training assumptions break down. It's surgical.
There's a knock-on effect here that I think is worth pulling out. As more governments and financial institutions mandate digital ID verification, the ability to produce a clean scan becomes a de facto requirement for accessing services. It's not a nice to have. It's not, oh, I'll just use the scanner at the library. It's the difference between opening a bank account or not, registering a SIM card or not, signing a rental agreement or not. And what's striking to me is how invisible this requirement is. Nobody tells you, by the way, your ability to participate in the economy now depends on understanding specular highlights.
And it's unevenly distributed friction. If you're in your home country with a stable address and a physical bank branch you can walk into, a bad scan is an inconvenience. You can go to the branch and have a human look at your documents. If you're a digital nomad in a country where you don't speak the language and everything is done through apps, a bad scan is a blocker. You're locked out of the economy until you figure it out. And the apps don't give you diagnostic feedback. They don't say your lighting angle is too steep or your background doesn't have enough contrast. They just say verification failed.
Which is why Daniel's framing this as a practical accessibility issue, not just a photography tip. The tools exist. The AI is good enough. But the gap between good enough and ideal conditions and works in a Bangkok hostel room with one fluorescent light is still wide, and it's filled by $55 of gear and knowing where to put the light. That's a knowledge gap, not a technology gap.
Let me add one more thing about the magnets, because I think it's clever and not obvious. If you're scanning on a non-metal surface, say a wooden desk, you can use two magnets with the paper sandwiched between them, one above, one below. They clamp the corner flat. It works on any surface, not just metal. You just need to be careful not to pinch the paper hard enough to leave an indent, especially on passport pages. But it means the magnet trick is universal. You're not dependent on finding a metal surface.
That's the kind of tip that sounds like a life hack from a forum, but is actually grounded in the physics of what the dewarping model is trying to do. You're removing the depth ambiguity entirely. The model doesn't have to estimate a three-dimensional surface because the surface is flat by construction. You've turned a hard computer vision problem into a non-problem.
And that's the unifying principle behind all of this. Every piece of advice Daniel's asking for, every tool in the kit, they all do the same thing. They remove variables that force the AI to guess. Segmentation, dewarping, glare recovery, these are all impressive technologies, but they're error-prone when the input is ambiguous. The physical setup eliminates the ambiguity. You're not making the AI smarter, you're making its job easier. And that turns out to be more reliable than hoping the next software update will be a little bit better at guessing.
So what's the one thing you should do tonight? Let's boil it down to actionable steps.
Three actionable takeaways. First, the single cheapest improvement you can make is switching your scanning background to black or dark gray. It costs nothing. A dark t-shirt works in a pinch and immediately improves segmentation accuracy. Based on user reports and scanning forums, we're talking an estimated 30 to 40% improvement in crop precision. That's the difference between a clean edge and a jagged mess. Try it tonight with a receipt. Scan it on a white surface, then scan it on something dark. The difference is immediate and undeniable.
Second, for passport and ID scanning, lighting angle matters more than brightness. A 45-degree angle from the side eliminates the hotspot that causes glare rejection. Test your setup by taking a photo and checking for any bright reflections before you submit. If you can see a white patch on the laminate, the verification system can too, and it'll fail you. Move the light, not the document. And if you're relying on overhead room light, you're almost certainly creating glare you can't see until you look at the photo.
Third, build the $55 Nomad Scanning Kit. Black craft paper, 4 small neodymium magnets, a pocket LED panel, a microfiber cloth. Keep it in your bag. It's cheaper than a travel scanner, lighter, and produces better results because you're optimizing for the AI's strengths rather than fighting its weaknesses. If you're a digital nomad, this isn't optional equipment. It's as essential as your passport itself. The passport gets you to the country. The kit gets you through the verification screens once you're there.
The best scanning app in the world can't fix a bad physical setup. Treat your phone as a camera first and an AI scanner second. Control the physical variables, and the software will reward you.
Which leaves us with an open question. As AI models improve, and they'll improve, the dewarping will get better, the glare recovery might eventually be able to in-paint missing text from context. Will physical setup become irrelevant? Or are we entering an arms race where the verification systems get stricter, faster than the scanning AI gets better?
I think it's the arms race. The verification side is also AI-driven, and it's designed to be paranoid. Every improvement in scanning AI is matched by a tightening of the fraud detection parameters. The acceptable margin shrinks. Physical precision might matter more, not less, as both sides of the equation get more sophisticated. It's like an evolutionary arms race between predators and prey. The scanning AI gets better at recovering text from bad conditions, so the verification AI gets better at detecting the artifacts of that recovery process and flagging them as potential tampering.
And with Apple and Google both pushing on-device ID verification, identity verification in iOS 19, identity check in Android 16. The line between scanning a document and proving you're who you say you're is blurring fast. The tools we talked about today aren't just about convenience. They're about access. They're about not getting locked out of your own identity because of where the light happened to be.
And that's the thing I keep coming back to. We've spent this whole episode talking about how to get a perfect scan. But the real point is that the scan is no longer the end product. It's the key. It's the thing that lets you into your bank, your rental, your phone plan, your border crossing. And we're all expected to just figure it out with whatever light happens to be in the room. The Nomad Kit is $55 of control in a system that otherwise treats your identity verification like a lottery.
And the beautiful thing is, none of this requires technical knowledge. You don't need to understand mobile net architectures or dewarping algorithms. You just need to know that contrast matters, flatness matters, and angle matters. The AI does the rest. You're not becoming a computer vision engineer. You're just giving the engineer a clean workspace.
Try the black background test tonight. Scan a receipt on a white table, then on a black piece of paper. Compare the crop accuracy. You'll see the difference immediately. It's 30 seconds, and it'll make you a believer.
And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
During the Tang Dynasty, imperial scribes were required to submit official documents on paper treated with yellow dye made from Amur cork tree bark, which had insect-repellent properties and produced a distinctive acoustic crinkle that forgers in the 1860s attempted to replicate by treating paper with turmeric and beeswax. A technique first documented by a British surveyor in Tibet who noticed that authentic edicts made a sharper sound when flicked.
The acoustic forensics of Tang Dynasty paperwork. Of course. So document verification has literally always been an arms race. The materials change, the flicking gets replaced by neural networks, but the dynamic is the same. Authenticators and forgers, scanning and counter-scanning, for 1300 years.
I have so many questions about the flicking. Was there a standardized flick? Was flicking technique part of the imperial examination? Did scribes train for this?
We're going to need a whole separate episode on historical document authentication, and I'm not sure I'm ready for that. Thanks, Hilbert. This has been my weird prompt. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Fleming Top. If you want to send us your own weird prompt, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.